نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. الحمد لله. We are beginning Juz 4, سورة آل عمران, آية نمبر 92. لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفق من شيء فإن الله به عليم. Never will you attain the good, never will you attain piety, great reward, albir, حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون, until you spend in the way of Allah from that which you love, and whatever you spend, indeed Allah is knowing of it. Abu Talha Ansari came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, I love Birha garden the most. He had many orchards, but this was his favorite. He said, I want to give it as sadaqah in the way of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, it is a profitable bargain. I suggest you divide it amongst your relatives. Alhamdulillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged him to first spend it on the relatives. And this is how the Sahaba were. Whenever they heard an ayah, they would want to follow it immediately. When the bar was so high, when Allah said that you can never attain piety until you spend out of your special things. Not everybody can do that. But bir means great reward, great piety. And this really teaches us selflessness. It erases and digs out the love of wealth that is in our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you will never attain the good reward until you spend in the way of Allah from that which you love. What are the things that I love? What are my favorite things? Am I able to do that? Is it just money? It could be anything else. Is it a lifestyle choice that I love, that is important to me? Can I spend it in the way of Allah? Is it possible that I might like something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like? Can I give it away in the path of Allah? Allah then says, all food was lawful to the children of Israel, except what Israel, meaning Yaqub alayhi salam, had made unlawful to himself before the Torah was revealed. Say O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so bring the Torah and recite it if you should be truthful. This criticism was leveled against the Muslims, and they said, the Bani Israel said, why do the Muslims eat the meat of camel if they profess that Allah has always sent the same religion down? Because Yaqub alayhi salam did not eat the meat of camel. The reason Yaqub alayhi salam did not eat the meat of camels was because its milk used to make him feel ill. That was one of the reasons that has been given. Or the other reason is that he had made another, he had made a vow. But all of this occurred before the Torah was revealed. How do we know that? Because the Torah was revealed to Musa alayhi salam, who came centuries after Yaqub alayhi salam. So again, the Bani Israel were simply looking for excuses. This comes after the ayah of Bir. What did the Bani Israel love? The Bani Israel loved their status. They could not give it up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they could not attain piety until they had spent from that which they loved. Allah then says, and whoever invents about Allah untruth after that, then those are truly the wrongdoers. Say, Allah has told the truth. So follow the religion of Abraham, inclining toward truth, and he was not of the polytheists. Indeed, the first house of worship established for mankind was that at Bakka, meaning Makkah, blessed and a guidance for the worlds. In it are clear signs, such as the standing place of Abraham. What was the standing place of Abraham? The place where he used to stand when he was building the Kaaba, rebuilding the Kaaba with Ismail a.s. Allah says, And whoever enters it, that is the Haram, shall be safe. If a person seeks refuge in the Haram, they cannot be arrested. No one is allowed to cut trees or kill insects inside the Haram unless it is absolutely necessary. Allah then says, And due to Allah from the people is a pilgrimage to the house, for whoever is able to find thereto a way. But whoever disbelieves, meaning refuses, then indeed Allah is free from need of the worlds. Allah does not need anyone, we need the pilgrimage. Say, O people of the scripture, why do you disbelieve in the verses of Allah while Allah is witness over what you do? Say, O people of the scripture, why do you avert from the way of Allah those who believe, seeking to make it seem crooked while you are witnesses to the truth, and Allah is not unaware of what you do? O you who have believed, if you obey a party of those who were given the scripture, they would turn you back after your belief to being unbelievers. And how could you disbelieve while to you are being recited verses of Allah and among you is His messenger? And whoever holds firmly to Allah has indeed been guided to a straight path. How do we hold firmly to the path of Allah, to the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By holding on to His ordinances, then trusting Him, relying upon Him, holding fast to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, O you who have believed, fear Allah as He should be feared. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who have believed, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die except as Muslims, meaning in submission to Him. Now Allah is addressing the Muslims. He is not talking to the kuffar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this to the Muslims. Fear Allah and fear Him as He ought to be feared. Do you really know how we should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we know His grandeur and His majesty? Do we understand it? Do we have any inkling of who He is, how great He is, how unique He is, and what He can do? Do we have any idea how much His power is? Can we possibly fear Him as He ought to be feared? When this ayah was revealed, the Sahaba were fear-stricken, and they said, how can we fear Allah as He ought to be feared? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later revealed ayat, in which He said that fear Allah as much as you can. Every one of us has different abilities, but we need to strive to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is the main link between us and God. So what is the standard of taqwa? Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is reported to have said that a person cannot reach the truth of taqwa until he or she leaves what bothers him or her in the heart. Because we cannot carry a book of Sharia laws with us all the time. What should we do? Ask people. If we don't know what to do, we need to ask people who know. Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you do not know, ask people. Those gray areas that might be confusing, leave those things that bother you. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that whatever bothers you in your heart, you need to leave that. And go for that which makes you certain and tranquil. It's the meaning of his saying. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that iman is covered by the libas, by the clothing of taqwa. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed 3 times to his heart and said, taqwa is here, taqwa is here, taqwa is here. And how is it manifested? In the outward, in the limbs, in the tongue, in the actions of the person. When the love of Allah comes over a man, a person becomes ready to sacrifice anything so that he will give up his own right for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will give up his own rightful position in an argument simply to please Allah. And this is true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah has said in Surah Al-Baqarah, that those who believe are the most intense in their love for Allah. أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Allah then says, and hold firmly to the robe of Allah altogether, and do not become divided. And remember the favor of Allah upon you when you were enemies, and He brought your hearts together, and you became by His favor brothers. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who places love in our hearts for each other. Allah tells the Sahaba, and you were on the edge of a pit of the fire, and He saved you from it. Thus Allah makes clear to you His verses that you may be guided. People often fail at teamwork. Relatives are not. Why? Because there is no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we work together, we must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we work together, we must endure difficulties, differences of opinions for the sake of Allah, for the sake of unity. A person will be able to humble themselves only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot mirror people's actions. We should only obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we can foster continuity and unity. May Allah make us of those. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says, and let there be arising from you a nation inviting to all that is good, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. And those will be the successful. Who are the ones who are successful? It is definitely not us, not these days. Why? Because we are not enjoining good and forbidding evil. What is good? Ma'roof. Ma'roof means everything that is considered good across the board, across nations, across cultures. The best ma'roof is tawheed. And what is munkar? Things that are considered wrong and evil, cheating, dishonesty, killing. We must stand up for it. The Prophet ﷺ told us in meaning that we must stand up against munkar, against evil, and we have to stand up and enjoin good. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept our du'as. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person must stop munkar, evil, with their hands. If they cannot do so, then with their tongue. If they cannot do so, then they should feel that it is bad in their hearts. And that is a lower level of iman. The lowest level of iman, subhanallah. This hadith is in meaning and it is presented in Sahih Muslim. Allah says the people who truly forbid evil and enjoin good are the ones who are successful, because it saves them as well and it also provides a hujjah or an excuse in front of Allah. Allah says, and do not be like those who become divided and deferred after the clear proofs had come to them, and they will have a great punishment. There is a fabricated hadith that says, and it is not a hadith because it is fabricated, it's simply a narration that someone made up. The differences in my ummah are a mercy. This is a ma'du hadith. And it goes completely against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states in the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the ummah will be divided into 73 sects or more. Only one will go to Jannah. When he was asked which one, he said, it's the path upon which I am and my ashabi, the sahaba, his companions. May Allah make us of those. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says, on the day some faces will turn white and some faces will turn black. As for those whose faces turn black, to them it will be said, did you disbelieve, meaning reject faith after your belief? Then taste the punishment for what you used to reject. But as for those whose faces turn white, they will be within the mercy of Allah. They will abide therein eternally. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says, tilka ayatullahi natluha alayka bilhaq, wa mallahu yuridu zulman lil alameen. These are the verses of Allah. We recite them to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in truth, and Allah wants no injustice to the worlds. That means whatever happens at the end on the Day of Judgment will be because of our own choices. Do we want our faces to be black and dark, or do we want our faces to be radiant with light and happiness? May Allah make us of the latter. Ameen. Allah says, to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth, and to Allah will all matters be returned. You are the best nation produced as an example for mankind. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Who is he addressing? Allah is addressing us, the Muslims. Allah says, what makes us so special? You enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong and believe in Allah. If only the people of the scripture had believed, it would have been better for them. Among them are believers, but most of them are defiantly disobedient. These are ayat of taqwa. Again, fear of Allah is the only motivating factor that can give a human being enough courage to stand up and speak for justice, to speak against oppression, even if it is against someone who is close to them, even if it is against a powerful rich man or a woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in His wisdom, encourages us that we must stand up for what is right and what is wrong, because that is what makes us an exceptional nation. We are the moral leaders of the world. Allah says, but there are people amongst the people of the scripture who are defiantly disobedient. They will not harm you except for some annoyance. And if they fight you, they will show you their backs, meaning they will retreat. Then they will not be aided. Allah says, do not be intimidated by the people of the scripture. They will make a big show and they will spin different things on the media and elsewhere. But Allah says, it will simply be an annoyance. Allah says, they have been put under humiliation by Allah wherever they are overtaken, except for a rope that is covenant from Allah and a rope that is treaty from the people. That means it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who allows them to thrive in the limited way that they do. And it is because Allah has provided them some support on earth. Allah says, and they have drawn upon themselves anger from Allah and have been put under destitution. That is because they disbelieved in the verses of Allah and killed the prophets without right. That is because they disobeyed and habitually transgressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fair, al-adil. In the next ayah, Allah says, they are not all the same. And this is the correct view. We need to also look at people in the same balanced manner. Allah says they are not all the same. Among the people of the scripture is a community standing in obedience, reciting the verses of Allah during periods of the night and prostrating in prayer. They believe in Allah and the last day, and they enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, and hasten to good deeds, and those are among the righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is a group of the people of the scripture who are truly devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They recite the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They get up at night to pray. Those are the people who truly believe in Allah and the last day. And another mark of theirs is that they stand up against evil and they enjoin and encourage people to do good. This is a third reference to commanding good and forbidding evil, because this is the crux of our identity. This is who we are supposed to be. Those slaves of Allah who truly believe in Allah and the last day will have taqwa and fear of Allah in their hearts, and they will stand up and be the emissaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. Allah says, and whatever good they do, the people of the scripture who are balanced, who turn toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who accept Islam and they are moved by it. Allah says, and whatever good they do, never will it be removed from them, and Allah is knowing of the righteous. Indeed, those who disbelieve, never will their wealth or their children avail them against Allah at all. And those are the companions of the fire. They will abide therein eternally. The example of what they spent in this worldly life is like that of a wind containing frost, which strikes the harvest of a people who have wronged themselves, meaning they have sinned. So this frost strikes the harvest of a people who have wronged themselves and destroys it. And Allah has not wronged them, but they wronged themselves. O you who have believed, do not take as intimates those other than yourselves, meaning other than believers, for they will not spare you any ruin. They wish you would have hardship. Hatred has already appeared from their mouths, and what their breasts conceal is greater. We have certainly made clear to you the signs, if you will use reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands us and He knows that we have positive feelings toward the people of the scripture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember, does not stop us from having good akhlaq, having good manners, having good relations with people of different faiths. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids us from thinking that they will be our helpers other than the believers. Allah says in the next ayah, here you are loving them, but they are not loving you, while you believe in the scripture, all of it. And this is the reason why they do not feel the same way about us. Because they do not believe in our prophet. They do not believe in our book. We, on the other hand, believe in all the other books and believe in all the prophets. And we revere them. We do not differentiate between any of the prophets. Allah says, and when they meet you, they say, we believe. But when they are alone, they bite their fingertips at you in rage. Say, die in your rage. Indeed, Allah is knowing of that within the breasts. If good touches you, it distresses them. But if harm strikes you, they rejoice at it. And if you are patient and fear Allah, their plot will not harm you at all. Indeed, Allah is encompassing of what they do. Allah tells us to keep doing our work. Do not give up. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep your head down and do what is supposed to be done. Enjoin good and forbid evil and have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, and remember when you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, left your family in the morning to post the believers at their stations for the battle of Uhud. And Allah is hearing and knowing. The Battle of Uhud took place in the third year of Hijrah in the month of Shawwal. Uhud was a revenge by the Kuffar for the defeat they had faced at Badr. In the Battle of Uhud, women participated. There were 3,000 Kuffar who participated in the battle. Many of the Sahaba advised that the Muslims should stay inside of Medina and fight from there. Abdullah ibn Ubay was one of them. But those of the Sahaba who had not participated in Badr, they wanted to go out and fight. So the Prophet ﷺ put on his armor and he was ready to leave. Afterwards, the Sahaba felt bad and they felt that they had pressured him. And so they advised him to change his mind and stay back. At that moment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that now he would not change his mind because it did not befit him. Allah says in the next ayah, when two parties among you were about to lose courage, but Allah was their protector, and upon Allah the believers should rely. Why they were losing courage? Because along the way, Abdullah ibn Ubay, along with 300 of his followers, decided to return back to Medina on the pretext that the Muslims had not listened to him about staying in Medina and fighting. So now the Muslim numbers were reduced to 700. And already had Allah given you victory at the Battle of Badr while you were weak, meaning few in number. Then fear Allah, perhaps you will be grateful. A cause for gratitude is victory, and victory comes with the taqwa of Allah. Remember when you said to the believers, is it not sufficient for you that your Lord should reinforce you with 3,000 angels sent down? Yes, if you remain patient and conscious of Allah, they, meaning the enemy, come upon you, attacking in rage, your Lord will reinforce you with 5,000 angels having marks of distinction. In Surat Al-Anfal, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent down 1,000 angels in the Battle of Uhud. Allah helps according to the level of taqwa and the level of patience. And Allah made it not except as a sign of good news for you and to reassure your hearts thereby. And victory is not except from Allah. وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ The Exalted in Might, the Wise. That He might cut down a section of the disbelievers or suppress them so that they turn back disappointed. Not for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but for Allah is the decision whether He should cut them down or forgive them or punish them, for indeed they are wrongdoers. At the height of the battle, when the Muslims started seeing defeat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was surrounded. The Sahaba desperately tried to protect him, but he was injured and he lost one of his teeth. At that moment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried out, saying, how can a nation which injures its prophet prosper. After this, these ayat were revealed, because Allah says, all power relies only with Him. And to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. He forgives whom He wills and punishes whom He wills. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. In fact, Khalid bin al-Walid was the chief of the army of the Kuffar at the Battle of Uhud. But he also was forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later. And he became a Muslim. In fact, he went on to fight many battles for the Muslims and conquered many lands for the Ummah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have believed, do not consume usury doubled and multiplied, but fear Allah that you may be successful. Again, taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one thing that brings a person success. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. And fear the fire which has been prepared for the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that hellfire is not for believers. It is not for us. Why is this ayah of usury over here? Because it is one of the major sins. And if a person deals in usury, then it is liable that they will fall into a place which is not for them. Jannah is for them. So Allah says, أَطِعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And obey Allah and the Messenger, that you may obtain mercy. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. And hasten to forgiveness from your Lord. Run towards it. Run towards the forgiveness of your Lord. And a garden, meaning paradise, as wide as the heavens and earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Prepared for the righteous. This is the place that is prepared for you and I, inshallah ta'ala. Who are those who spend in the cause of Allah during ease and hardship? Meaning it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, they will always be generous and spend in the cause of Allah, simply seeking His pleasure. And then Allah says, and who restrain anger. Anger, al-ghayz. Ghayz means anger that you can see on the face of another person. Wal-qazimeen al-ghayz, they swallow their wrath. And then, who pardon the people. Just overlook. Despite the fact that they are very angry, these are people who are not burdened by the misbehavior of others. They rise above the attitude of other people. So Allah says, and Allah loves the doers of good. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. And then Allah says, and those who, if they commit an immorality or wrong themselves by transgression, remember Allah and seek forgiveness for their sins. They immediately turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are humble. They acknowledge their sins and ask forgiveness. Allah says, and who can forgive sins except Allah? And then finally, and who do not persist in what they have done while they know? That means knowingly they do not persist in the sin that they had committed in the past. What a beautiful deen. But also a very lenient deen. Allah tells us that the people who inherit Jannah are not perfect. Allah says those their reward is forgiveness from their Lord and gardens beneath which rivers flow in paradise, wherein they will abide eternally. And excellent is the reward of the righteous workers. وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. Amal, those who do amal. May Allah make us of those and may He accept it from us. Ameen. Similar situations as yours have passed on before you. So proceed throughout the earth and observe how was the end of those who denied. This Qur'an is a clear statement to all the people and a guidance and instruction for those conscious of Allah. وَهُدًا وَمُعِذَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. مُعِذَة, it's an advice that touches a person's heart. Taqwa makes the heart soft, so it absorbs advice well. Allah says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. So do not weaken and do not grieve, and you will be superior if you are true believers. The condition is that people should be true believers. If a wound should touch you, there has already touched the opposing people a wound similar to it. and these days of varying conditions, we alternate among the people so that Allah may make evident those who believe and may take to himself from among you martyrs, and Allah does not like the wrongdoers. Time does not remain constant, and that is so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the one hand might test us, and on the other hand give us respite. Allah says, and that Allah may purify the believers through trials and destroy the disbelievers. So difficulties and hardships actually remove sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in meaning that even if a thorn pricks the believer, it erases sins. When we get sick, for example, it also erases our sins. Allah says, Am hasibtum an tadkhulul jannata? Or do you think that you will enter paradise, while Allah has not yet made evident those of you who fight in his cause, and made evident those who are steadfast? This world is here, this life is here, so that we will prove ourselves. Allah says, And you had certainly wished for death, meaning martyrdom, before you met it, and you have now seen it before you, while you were looking on. Muhammad is not but a messenger. Other messengers have passed on before him. So if he was to die or be killed, would you turn back on your heels to unbelief? And he who turns back on his heels will never harm Allah at all. But Allah will reward the grateful. Who are those grateful people? Those who stay on Islam, who stay true believers, no matter what happens. The trial of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dying was something that the Sahaba experienced. When that happened, Umar radiallahu anhu was beside himself. He simply could not accept it. So he started brandishing his sword and saying if anyone claimed that the Prophet, peace be upon him, was dead, he would kill him. At that moment, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu recited this ayah and it struck Umar radiallahu anhu. His sword fell down and he fell to the ground. And he had said later that it was as if he had never heard this ayah before. This was a true trial of the Sahaba. Remember, it is only Allah who lasts. Allah says, And it is not possible for one to die except by permission of Allah at a decree determined. And whoever desires a reward of this world, we will give him thereof. And whoever desires a reward of the hereafter, we will give him thereof. And we will reward the grateful. And how many a prophet fought, and with him fought many religious scholars. But they never lost assurance due to what afflicted them in the cause of Allah, nor did they weaken or submit. And Allah loves the steadfast. Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Allah is encouraging the believers. He is saying, Do not worry about people when they say, If only we had stayed back, we would have been okay. We would not have suffered defeat at Uhud. People would not have died. Many nations before also fought with their prophets and their scholars, but they never regretted it. Allah says, And their words were not, but that they said, Our Lord, forgive us our sins and the excess committed in our affairs, and plant firmly our feet and give us victory over the disbelieving people, because victory is taken away if sins increase. Allah says, So Allah gave them the reward of this world and the good reward of the hereafter. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. And Allah loves the doers of good. May Allah make us of those. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who have believed, if you obey those who disbelieve, they will turn you back on your heels and you will then become losers. But Allah is your protector. And he is the best of helpers. We will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve for what they have associated with Allah, of which he had not sent down any authority. And their refuge will be the fire, and wretched is the residence of the wrongdoers. And Allah had certainly fulfilled his promise to you when you were killing them, meaning the enemy, by his permission, until the time when you lost courage and fell to disputing about the order given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and disobeyed after he had shown you that which you love. Among you are some who desire this world, and among you are some who desire the hereafter. Then he turned you back from them, defeated, that he might test you, and he has already forgiven you, and Allah is the possessor of bounty for the believers. In the beginning of the battle, the Prophet ﷺ had stationed some of the Sahaba at the tip of the hills at Uhud. They were archers who had been stationed there and told categorically not to move from there, even if they saw that the vultures were eating the bodies of the believers. So this was their order, and they were 50 in number. When the battle started and the archers upon the hills saw that the Muslims were winning and the kuffar were leaving the battlefield, and they saw that the enemy was running away and they were just dropping their weapons everywhere, the archers decided to run down the hills and gather up the booty before other people did. At that moment, only 5 people remained stationed on the hill as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ordered. When this happened, Khalid bin Walid saw the opening on the hills. He gathered a group of horsemen and he came around from behind the hills to attack the mountains. Since there were only 5 archers left, they could not defend the Muslims. And the whole situation changed. The Muslims suffered a great defeat, and there were many people who were martyred on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding of them, and he said that you had lost courage and fell to disputing about the order given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you disobeyed after he had shown you that which you love. What is that? Worldly things. They saw worldly things. So Allah says, among you are some who desire this world, and among you are those who desired hereafter. Then he turned you back from them defeated, that he, Allah, might test you. And he has already forgiven you. And Allah is the possessor of bounty for the believers. What wonderful news for them. Remember when you fled and climbed a mountain without looking aside at anyone while the messenger was calling you from them. The attack had intensified at that time, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being attacked from all sides. Some of the Sahaba left. Allah then says, so Allah repaid you with distress upon distress, so you would not grieve for that which had escaped you of victory and spoils of war, or for that which had befallen you of injury and death, and Allah is fully acquainted with what you do. Then after distress, he sent down upon you security in the form of drowsiness, overcoming a faction of you, while another faction worried about themselves, thinking of Allah other than the truth. The thought of ignorance saying, is there anything for us to have done in this matter? Meaning, are we going to have victory? Say, indeed, the matter belongs completely to Allah. They conceal within themselves what they will not reveal to you. They say, if there was anything we could have done in the matter, we, meaning some of us, would not have been killed right here. So the hypocrites at that moment are criticizing the Muslims and saying this whole thing turned into a defeat because the Muslims had not listened to them about staying within the city limits. Allah then says, say, even if you had been inside your houses, those decreed to be killed would have come out to their deathbeds. It was so that Allah might test what is in your breasts and purify what is in your hearts. And Allah is knowing of that within the breasts. Is it a disease of hypocrisy or is it iman? Allah says, indeed, those of you who turned back on the day the two armies met at Uhud, it was Satan who caused them to slip because of some blame they had earned. Meaning that a door to Shaitan opens, a door to Satan opens when we make a mistake. Allah says, but Allah has already forgiven them. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and forbearing. Allah is very Halim. Halim means very tolerant. This is the second time Allah gives them the good news that they have been forgiven. O you who have believed, do not be like those who disbelieved and said about their brothers when they traveled through the land or went out to fight, if only they had been with us, they would not have been killed. They would not have died or have been killed. So Allah makes that misconception a regret within their hearts. And it is Allah who gives life and causes death. And Allah is seeing of what you do. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that saying if only opens a door to Shaitan. Pure faith is based on trust that only Allah controls things. Allah says, and if you are killed in the cause of Allah or die, then forgiveness from Allah and mercy are better than whatever they accumulate in the world. And whether you die or are killed, unto Allah you will be gathered.